Well, I suppose I ought to introduce myself. I'm the Reverend Joe Lawrence, brother of Emily Jeffress, and brother of Chad Lawrence and Adelia Mattson. And we just moved, my family and I, to Grove City area, and find myself already preaching on the topic of friendship with what I trust are many future friends. My family and I, we already find ourselves indebted to a number of people within this community, and often friendships begin with debts of a sort. The endless giving of gifts and paying them back, round and round, which eventually, slowly but surely, we find ourselves bound to one another with hoops of steel. Friendship. Well, let me begin with some music. In my family, we have deep roots in Bakersfield, California. Bakersfield is known as the Nashville of the West, or at least it used to be, you know, Buck Owens and Merle Haggard, streets of Bakersfield, I'll never swim the Kern River again. Okay, we've got a few old-time country music folks here. But I want to take you to the Bakersfield Symphony Orchestra, not by any means famous beyond the bounds of Bakersfield itself. Serving a church there, my wife and I were given tickets to the symphony, and they were performing two pieces, Fantasia on a theme by Thomas Tallis, by Ralph Vaughan Williams, and Mozart's Requiem. Now, sitting through that first piece, Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis, I was enrapt. If you know this piece of music, you know it can enrapture a person. What I found was over the next few days, I was just humming the tune in my head. Mowing the lawn, it's playing in my head. Starting a brief argument with my wife, I heard this playing in my head, and no matter what I was doing, it had a way of lifting me out of the mundane as I was imperfectly humming this heavenly tune. That has a lot to do with what we're going to be talking about today, imperfectly humming a heavenly tune. Why do I mention this? Well, just look, would you, at what Proverbs has to say about friendship. A friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. This doesn't simply refer to the constancy through time of love, but a friend loves at all different kinds of time. Which is to say, when things are good, a friend loves, and when things are profoundly difficult, a friend loves. When we're lovable, a friend loves. And when we're deeply unlovable, a friend loves. A friend loves at all different kinds of time within our lives. Also says a brother, and I think in this verse, it's another word for friend. A brother, a friend is born for adversity. Born for adversity. As if the reason God made human nature such that we make friends is for such a thing as adversity. A friend is born for adversity. Or going on in the passage, faithful are the wounds of a friend. This is perhaps puzzling. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. In what sense does a friend wound us? In what sense can we wound another, and it's in a faithful kind of wound? But of course, what I think this refers to is the sharp word of correction that perhaps wounds our pride but heals our soul. How good are you at faithfully wounding a friend? Profoundly difficult thing. A friend, we read later on, is there for calamity. It says, don't go to your brother's house in the day of calamity. It's not saying don't go to your brother, but if your brother's far away and your friend is near, go to your friend who is near for in the time of calamity, because that is what a friend is for. Are you getting a sense of how deeply challenging it is to be a friend as this biblical book of Proverbs envisions it? Profoundly difficult. Who can be a friend like this? I think our Lord Jesus can. Which is why I mention imperfectly humming a heavenly tune, because I think that's what it means to be a friend. We have a friend in heavenly places who loves us perfectly. Just think of the kind of friend Jesus is. Who among us hasn't experienced the love of Jesus in profoundly difficult times? He loves us perfectly in the midst of adversity. Also says a brother or a friend is born for adversity. Jesus Christ is quite literally born for adversity. In fact, he is the only person who has ever lived who chose to be born. Each of us was just thrown into this world. We weren't given a choice about it. Incidentally, more and more people are growing resentful about this as more and more of our political discourse is based on the notion of consent. People think, well, I didn't consent to be born. It's not fair. Jesus, however, he did consent to be born, the Son of God, come down to earth. For what purpose? Born for calamity. Remarkable. He also faithfully, lovingly wounds our pride. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. He punctures our illusions, and in so doing, he heals our souls. You see, who can be a friend like this? Jesus can. You and I, in our deeply twisted and sinful nature, we struggle, but insofar as our relationship with Jesus is the anchor of our lives, what we end up doing, sometimes intentionally, sometimes it just happens within us, is we, in our own imperfect way, hum the tune of Jesus' friendship with us. Being more and more conformed to his image, imperfectly humming a heavenly tune. Or to change the metaphor, in John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. In other words, Jesus is the source of our life, of our ability to love, of our holiness, our stammering, halting efforts at being friends. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so you see, insofar as our attempts at friendship are rooted, I suppose we could say, in the friendship of Jesus with us, then we find ourselves more and more walking in his path of friendship, humming the heavenly tune. When Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, the implication is when we abide in him, we begin to do, let's say, something that resembles the great something that he does within our hearts and within our lives. And so, insofar as this is the case, what does it mean to have friends? What does it mean to be friends with one another, as the book of Proverbs envisions it? In Shakespeare's Henry V, there's this great line from the king, from a great speech. He says, those friends thou hast, and their adoption tried, grapple them unto thy soul with hoops of steel. Let me read that again. Those friends thou hast, and their adoption tried, grapple them unto thy soul with hoops of steel. Isn't this what Jesus, by his cross and by his resurrection, has done for us? He has grappled us unto his soul with hoops of steel, with nails of iron. And so we also grapple friends unto ourselves with hoops of steel. What does this mean? I just like to highlight two aspects of friendship that I think the book of Proverbs puts before us. Two aspects. The first is friendship in adversity. And the second is, let's say, faithful wounds of a friend. Friendship in adversity. There are enough cliches about, fair-weather friends and so on and so forth that I think we get the idea. The deepest, the most profound, the truest friends are those who are friends in the day of calamity. When the finances don't all line up. When you find yourself in significant need of help moving a house, which my family and I recently did. When there's trouble with the children. When there's trouble in the family. When there's trouble of any kind. What the book of Proverbs puts before us is the model of friendship is the friend in the midst of adversity. A brother is born, we read, for adversity. What does St. Paul say? Galatians chapter 6, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There it is, humming a heavenly tune, imperfectly. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But if we are to bear one another's burdens, we must, well, be burdened with the burden that they have, sharing it with them. Getting into the difficulty, making their adversity our own. The pain and suffering that they encounter, we can't take all of that upon ourselves. Only Jesus can, but we can share it in part. Bear one another's burdens. And to bear a burden, you must be burdened. And that's the model of friendship. Friendship in the midst of adversity. I mean, just think to yourself when you were in the midst of trouble and another friend came to your help. Friendship in adversity. Let me go on to the second one. We read, faithful are the wounds of a friend. We talked about this just a moment ago. The Bible also mentions earnest counsel. What I think this is referring to is the profoundly difficult task of speaking a word of correction to a friend. I can't tell you how many times this was the task that was before me and I chickened out. I do remember a number of times in which someone has done this for me, wounded my pride. Punctured my illusions. Well, I don't know you well enough to go into the really deep and profound ones yet, so let me use a rather trivial example. When I was 19 years old, I shipped off to Youth with a Mission in Montana. And we were preparing, my team and I, for a mission trip to South America. And the plan was we were going to put together a rock band to play music, to put on shows, and then hopefully encourage evangelistic encounters as part of this. And so we had to learn a whole bunch of songs, and you know, I played electric guitar, and where I came from, I was pretty good. And so I was pretty light on the practice. And the leader of the group seemed to notice this. I thought I was doing just fine, but I was missing some parts. And I thought, well, this is good enough for South America, I suppose. Not so. So the leader, a friend, Wells Dykus, I remember his name, he took me aside and said, Joe, you're pretty good at guitar. That wounded my pride. Pretty good? You're pretty good at guitar, but you're not good enough not to practice. Ouch. That wounded my pride. Punctured an illusion or two about myself. You're good, but you're not good enough to practice. Funny enough, that runs through my head anytime I'm preparing for something important. Obviously, it ran through my head. I was preparing for this sermon. You're not good enough not to practice. How different would my life have been if he chickened out from saying that? He said, well, you know, this is good enough. It's just a mission outreach band. It's not going to be perfect. But he had enough, well, love as a friend to speak a truth tempered with love. And that's precisely what the task is for friends, to speak the truth tempered with love. Isn't this what Jesus, our friend, does for us? He speaks the truth to us, but it's born out of a heart of love because we can only go deeper and further in our relationship with God the Father insofar as we are enabled to lay down our pride, our illusions about ourselves, our accomplishments, all of which, of course, mean nothing to our Father in heaven. You're good, but you're not good enough not to practice. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And you see, this is the calling, friendship in adversity. And earnest counsel that may sting but also heals. How can we do this? All we can do, my friends, is imperfectly hum the heavenly tune and walk more and more in this path insofar as we are rooted and grounded in the perfect love of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before I conclude, let me give just one aside. I think any sermon on friendship must have this aside. The aside for the lonely. Those who feel themselves perhaps not with the friends that they desire. What to do in a circumstance like this, in the midst of loneliness? I think what comes to mind for me is something like what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Which in this context, I think means something like this. If you find yourself in the midst of loneliness, longing for a true friend, then what you have that in our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the friendship with Jesus. Allow him to begin to heal that loneliness. And then see what opportunities your friend Jesus, who knows all that you need, before you can even ask it, and can fulfill your needs beyond all that you could imagine. Seek first friendship with him, and all these things shall be added to you. Those friends thou hast, and their adoption tried, grapple them into thy soul with hoops of steel. And do this by humming that heavenly tune, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.